All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Amen. We are week three in our summer series that we're calling our summer mixtape. And man, glad to have you here. And if you're here for the first time, welcome. And before we get into this message, I wanted to just actually update you on something I told you I was going to do today a couple weeks ago. How many remember the first of the month of June that we had Destiny Rescue in with us and Corey Nichols that shared? Y'all remember that? And for our new just mission project as we are just continuing to want to reach the global world for Jesus. But I wanted to just update you of the day, of just the stats of just what the team of Destiny Rescue sent into me. So you can see what a difference you made just in that day and then what we will accomplish together in a year's time. It's going to be, I think, incredible. And then I'll share with you here, man, the details here. But 12 of you, which is awesome, did a sponsor a home and signed up to support homes on an individual level. And so if each person follows through with that, that will be $6,000 just in a year's time for those 12 people. So, man, we thank God for you. Yeah, yep. Donations just for Destiny Rescue that day. Again, the team was just floored by the generosity of our church. Donations were just a little over $1,000, $1,020. And then, if y'all remember, they have the jewelry outside at their tent that the kids that are rescued make. And so that helps them to stay employed. Y'all remember that? And so you all gave nearly $1,100 just in that for the jewelry, which is amazing. Yeah, and to kind of... The big part of it all is obviously as a church, roughly every now year, we will be giving anywhere from $10,000 to a little bit more than $10,000 towards our own home that we are calling the Elevate City Church Home, and it's going to be in Cambodia. Yeah. So our first mission trip in 2018, there's a little map there, Cambodia there in the Asia kind of area, and that'll be 2018 will be our trip. And so, man, I just encourage you, if missions is a part of your heart, something that, man, that is just stirring in you, you're going to have an opportunity. Whoops, that dropped. And then we also, as you see the neighbor there in Thailand is next door, we're going to be taking in our same trip to Thailand as well, just because of some things that we are going to be doing and continuing to work really well with Destiny Rescue. And so I just tell you what, man, I'm very proud of you all. Thank you so much for your generosity. And man, isn't it awesome being a part of something much, much, much bigger than you and me? Amen, everybody, that we get a bit, play a part in helping to reach the world for Jesus. Amen. And so it's awesome. So just want to thank you guys for that. I want to show you a video, too, of what this house is going to look like, what it means for us as a church to have a home and to rescue these children. I talked to Corey on the phone just this week, and of course, they've got a lot of just different ministry partners of Destiny Rescue in different nations, but man, they just rescued a five-year-old little boy just this week in India, y'all, and that was being sex trafficked. And so, man, I thank God for this ministry. I thank God that we get to play a part of this, and I thank God that next year that we as a church get to go visit our Elevate City Church home in Cambodia. Here's a look of what it looks like. Go ahead, guys.
When we rescue a child, actually getting them out of the bar or brothel is just the first step. This is the part that we really celebrate, liberation from sexual exploitation. But there is so much more to come. When a child enters our home, the first thing she experiences is love. She's welcomed with open arms and loved unconditionally. This is now her home, with amazing house parents, new sisters. It's like they get a whole new family. This love is the foundation for building trust and allowing healing to begin. Now, our love touches their hearts, but for many, the trauma that's been inflicted upon them requires counseling and spiritual guidance to help heal those wounds. Our counselors and caseworkers give each girl the care and attention they need and equip them with truth and tools so they can continue rebuilding their lives. It's about working towards a healthier, safer future. Now, this process is quite emotional, and we know the girls need time to simply be kids. That's why fun time is a huge part of what we do. Our homes are safe places where girls can laugh and scream, play games, and simply enjoy doing life with their sisters. But our homes are also places that are forward-thinking. We know we need to equip these kids for what's to come. That's why in our homes we offer a basic education that's tailored for the girls depending on their location. This education includes things like English language classes, cultural classes, and Bible studies. Our homes take a holistic approach to preparing these kids for the future, and we do it with excellence. Our homes are the hubs of Destiny Rescue, and we want to invite you inside. Our Adopt-A-Home program brings you closer than our child sponsorship program ever could. We want to show you what daily life looks like. We want to invite you in so you can join in and celebrate our successes. You can write letters, you can send encouragement, which will be displayed for all the girls to see. You may even have the chance to visit the home one day. Adopt-A-Home is about connection. And ultimately, when you adopt a home, you're providing a safe place where our girls can lie down at night on a bed that's designed for sleep, not for work.
Guys, I am so excited about Adopt-A-Home. This program is going to enable us to keep growing, to see our vision fulfilled, and bring more and more children into safety and complete freedom. Our supporters, you guys, you are the fuel in our tank. This program is designed to give you the closest possible view of what's happening in our homes. We want you to feel even more connected to these precious kids that you are helping support. Your donations help fund everything that you've seen here and more.
Amen. Isn't that awesome, everybody? Yeah. So we'll get to visit our home on that trip, and that's a great look and a great picture of kind of our home and what it will look like. That's not the exact home, but it's a very close replica of what ours is like, and so in Cambodia. So really excited about that. So, amen. Y'all ready to get in the message today? All right, if you haven't already, just grab your message notes. Let's dive in. And I want to talk to you really because on really kind of going the heartbeat of what you just saw, and as we are approaching our massive serve day coming up on July the 15th. Everybody say July the 15th. Come on, I encourage you, make sure, get in your phone, get it on the calendar on that Saturday. We're going to have an amazing day as there will be several projects throughout the city that we're doing. I mean, we did this last year, and it was phenomenal. And so I'm going to encourage you to be a part of that. I'll tell you how at the end of service here today. And then we're going to have just a big old cookout and just celebrate after we are done serving that day. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I want to talk to you really just on the subject of simply a heart for what matters. And it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Everybody say, I'm a witness. All right, come on, a little stronger. I'm a witness. There you go. In Jerusalem, and all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What's the responsibility of a witness? What are they supposed to do? They're supposed to tell their story. Share what's happened. And so God is telling you and I, and we look at Matthew 28, it's called the Great Commission for a reason, not the small one, not a good one, a great one. Amen, everybody? And so to take our stories and to share it with the world. One of my favorite shows on TV, we have any Law & Order SVU fans in the house? Oh, look at y'all. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. We ought to do a little season finale party. All right, anyways. But when they call witness to the stand, that's what they do. They tell their story. And they share of what happened. And so God is telling you and I that, hey, church, hey, everybody, I want you to tell your story of how I've changed your life. I want you to go in Jerusalem. So here's what that looks like for you and for me in 2017. In other words, I want you to go into Fort Wayne. And I want you to share what I've done in your life and tell others about the hope that is in you. Amen? And then I don't want you to just stop in your cities. I want you to go into Judea and into Samaria. So go into the state of Indiana and go into the nation of America and tell them about my love and tell them about my grace and compassion. And then I want you to go to the global world. I want you to take this gospel and take it to the world. How many know we're part of one of the greatest movement in the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got, come on, still the all-time best-selling book ever, and that's the Bible, everybody. Amen? So we're a part of just a massive movement, and God wants you and I as an individual to play a part of what he wants to do in the world. Matthew 5, Jesus said this, "You are the world's light, a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see." So don't hide your light. Don't hide it. Everybody say, let it shine. When I was in Sunday school, man, we used to sing a song. We used to stick our little pointy fingers up. And we used to sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Anybody remember that? "This little light of mine." And if you didn't, it's cool. I'll teach it to you, all right? "I'm going to let it shine." All right? And so that's where we get that from, is this verse right here where Jesus, where God is telling us, hey, I want you to take that light, shine it for all to see. Let your good deeds glow. I want everybody to see the hope that's in you so that people will praise your heavenly Father. And again, the result of your light shining is, man, people are going to ask questions about your God. And you get the awesome opportunity of telling them, man, this is how cool my God is. Let me tell you about what he's done for me, and that they will praise and that they will, man, run after God just like you and me. I just think it's interesting. I think we're in more of a time than we've ever been that people are actually more open to God than ever. And I think it's interesting that maybe don't allow what's happening around you or culture or news to try to disguise, man, that people are open to the things of God and are desperate for you and me to just extend an invitation and to talk to them. It's just been interesting, and just a few procedures that I've just had over the last several months, and just things at the doctor's office. I've had just opportunities just to share Christ. And I just think when you say yes to God, that you want to be used. Can I just tell you that sometimes God's real good at putting you in you know, uncomfortable situations and sometimes not convenient situations to share the love of Jesus with somebody. And it may not be on your time schedule, it may not be how you plan it, but how many know that's the way God is? And you just got to be open to what he wants. And so there I am, and procedure being done, and definitely didn't think it was going to come up, but I got the question, so what do? You know? And so I always think real hard before I answer if I tell them, because I get different responses when I tell people sometimes I'm a pastor. So, but anyways, I told her, and I thought, what? You know what I'm saying? But no, she was cool. She was like, oh, well, and then she just like went into her life story, you know. And so right there in the office, man, it became a counseling session. I mean, she was supposed to be helping me, but now I'm helping her, you know what I mean? And it was so awesome. God moved. And man, she came to church the next Sunday here and gave her heart to Jesus. And it was awesome. And then I had something else just a few weeks ago. I'm just telling you, people are open. This is what I'm talking about. Just, it's easy, because this is who just our God is. It's easy if you'll just be available. I was just visiting someone in the hospital and praying for them. And, man, one of the nurses that was in there, man, we just connected. It was just awesome. And he and I just got talking. And then at the end of it, man, just had the opportunity just to encourage and just love. And man, that next Sunday, boom, here he is. And he brought family with him. I was like, let's go, you know? And I say all that to say is that people are waiting on you. There are some people that I believe are one invitation, one ask away from their life being changed. And it's got everything to do whether you and I are going to be obedient to go beyond our comfort zone or not. And so I just want to encourage you, let's go beyond it. In a secular poll out of Gallup, and I just think this is a big myth about people sometimes that we have, that there's just this myth out there that people just aren't interested in spiritual matters. When the secular poll that was done, and of course, it didn't poll you and me, so it's not everybody, but I just thought it was interesting that 65 million Americans have no church home. But 34, more than half, would go to church if someone would just invite them. I think about that, everybody. That's what I'm saying. Somebody, it could be coworkers, family, neighbors, just people, friends, whatever, that you and I are in connection with that maybe are one invitation away from a life change and seeing their life change for Jesus. Amen? The same poll, it's interesting that teenagers in our nation would rather talk about God and spirituality than sex, drugs, or music. Come on, somebody. And I think we're seeing a generation that is becoming hungrier for God. I know just even in our talks and what we're seeing in our own teenagers and our students during the week on Wednesday nights, and just, man, just the passion and the things that are happening. It's great to see them out at some of our serve events helping out as well. And so I just think it ought to awaken us to realize that people are waiting on us. and waiting on us to share the love of God. That's why I love this verse in 1 Corinthians 14:1. Everybody read this verse with me, real simple. Make love your greatest aim. Can you read it one more time with me? Make love. Can I tell you that love is the medicine to a sick world? And the love of Jesus at that is the medicine. It's what this world needs. And I'm telling you, it's loving people, come on, even when you're treated wrong. It's loving people when they cut you off on Coliseum. Yeah, it's loving people. Pastor Kyle turned on a one-way street yesterday. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah, it's loving people enough to say, that was my fault. Please don't hate me. You know what I'm saying? And it's loving people when they talking bad about you. It's loving people when they disrespect you. It's loving people when it's not fair on the job. I'm telling you, if you're going to grow in Christ-likeness and godliness, it's growing in love. You want to talk about changing the world? You can't change the world. You can't touch people without the love of God in you. Amen, everybody? That's why I believe it's important to understand that love is a choice and it's an action. You choose to love. But when you choose to love, it's action. It's not just, I'm just going to sit on my fanny and not do nothing. It's no, we're going to put this bad boy of a thing called love into action and let's love somebody. And I'm going to talk to you more about that in a second. But let's let our knee-jerk reaction always be love. I know it's easy to get caught up in our emotions. I know it is. But may the Spirit of God be always stronger than you, than your flesh is. May your spirit always be stronger than the reaction. I get it. Than the way your flesh wants to react sometimes. I truly believe that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you respond to it. And so I think it's so important that we can grow in godliness and character and understand that, man, we don't have to. And here's why, everybody. The world's way isn't working. It's broke. And I'm not trying to be like the rest of the world. I want to be weird because normal isn't working, everybody. It's not working. And so I want to embrace godly principles. Romans 12:11. Love this verse. It says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor or keep your spiritual passion. Everybody say passion. Passion. That was weak if you're saying passion. Better try it again, church. Come on, shout passion. Passion. There you go. That's a lot better. Keep your spiritual passion or fervor serving the Lord. It's one of the reasons why I love sports so much. Man, how many Cubs fans we have? Hopefully we have more in this service than first. A lot more in this service. Man, I had like one other person in me put our hands up in first service. I'm like, where are all the Cubs fans at, you know? All the people that love Jesus are Cubs fans, right? Anyways, just kidding. Anyways, but I'll never forget that moment, you know, in the fall when the Cubs won it. 108 years, long time since the last World Series went. And you better believe, and Bethany will test it, I got up off my couch. Come on, I was like, yeah, you know, I was waking the kids up, par yelling, like just excited. And, you know, if you've ever been to a Notre Dame football game or Indiana basketball game down in Bloomington, man, they fans get crazy. Man, they get crazy. Some of them paint their bellies, you know. I wouldn't recommend that at church, but you know, but they get crazy. They get passionate. And I've said this before, but I'm never going to allow, man, my sports to get more praise and more passion than I give my God. You know, everybody? And so when you see me lifting my hands, it's not to be cute. It's understanding, man, what my God has done for me, and I'm giving him my life. When I give a fist in the air, it's because, God, you are powerful. You are awesome. You bad to the bone, and can't nobody touch you. That's my God. That's who I serve. And worshiping, and when I get up here preaching, I realize I get a little excited, but you know what that is? It ain't hype, everybody. It's passion, because I know what God has done and how he's transformed my life. So I get a little bit passionate about what I believe and about what my God does and has done and what he's going to do in the lives of people as well. Amen, everybody? Amen. Yeah. Passion. Here's a definition of it. I love it. It means this. It's an object of desire, zeal, deep interest, fervor, to have enthusiasm. I believe passion is the spark of life. I think many people are missing passion, and part of the reason why we miss passion is because we don't have direction for where we're going, our purpose, our gifts, which thank you, God, for Growth Track, and I'll hit that in a second, and getting a part of understanding your purpose and knowing where you're going in this life, because without it, I just think life has no meaning, and that's what I see for our church, man. I just see us as a church that's full of love and full of compassion. This is a church, just a statement. I just wanted to put out there today that when I see the church and I see us at Elevate City, it's where the sacrificial spirit of our volunteers, our givers, our teams enable because of people that are passionate and called and able to encounter, many people to encounter the presence of Jesus. Do you realize, man, because of so many people that serve on Sunday morning through our services, and when before we moved back to two services here in the summer and our three services, man, we had so many people, and we do still working hard. And it's one of my favorite parts of the morning is when I walk in with my daughter early in the early before everybody's come, and just seeing our team, smiles on their faces, ready to go. You know what that does for me? Like, it energizes me to know that, like, people actually want to be here and serve everybody and be a part. And you know why? Because they're serving in the areas of their gifts, and they know they're making an eternal difference. Can we just, like, for 5 seconds, give a hand to all of our dream team that serves every weekend? Yeah. Man, we love you guys. We honor you because we couldn't do this without you. So I'm saying, man, just mad love to you guys. We love you so much. So I think if we're going to have a heart that matters, we have to know what it's about. And if we're going to be passionate about what God is passionate about, we have to see it for what it is. So number one in our notes, jot this down. We got to have, you can't have a heart for anything unless you have a heart for God. It starts with having a passion, a heart for Jesus. In Matthew 6, Jesus said this, only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things. But your Father in heaven knows that you need all of these. But look at this, more than anything else, put God's work first. Can you say that with me? Put God's work first and do what he wants, and then the other things will be yours as well. And this is just kind of a good reminder here in the middle of summer, or the beginning of summer, I guess, is the principle of the first things. That's a first things principle that God is saying, I want to be first in everything in your life. Come on, I want to be the part of your first in your day when you get up. Scripture says he's a jealous God. He wants to be with you. So, God, that I give you the first of my day. That, Lord, before I get into other things, I want to honor you. God, just talk to you this morning, maybe on the drive to work, and just say, God, just thank you for waking me up another day. Come on, thank you for the breath that's in my body. Amen. And thank you for that. It's honoring God with the first of the week. You're doing it. You're here. That's part of honoring God, saying, God, I'm not going to begin this week until I get up in your house and give you the worship and the praise that you deserve. It's honoring God in the first of our finances and saying, God, that tithe is not mine. Your word says it's yours. So, God, I'm going to worship you with my giving. Come on. And as you understand first thing principles, I'm telling you, God always will take care of you. If you take care of God's business, God will always take care of your business. I'm just telling you, it's a life principle that I'm telling you, if you get a hold of that, it'll change your life. And so we need to understand that we must value what God values. In other words, you and I have to oftentimes, I think sometimes, be reminded that we're owners of nothing. Everything that you and I have in this life, the clothes on our back, the cars that we drive, everything, the food in our bellies is a gift from the Lord. Amen, everybody? And we have to see it, that we're called to be managers of it, stewards of it, and to be faithful with that. Amen? Mark 12, it says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. This is an interesting moment because an expert in the law is trying to catch Jesus kind of off guard here. And he said, hey, Jesus, which is the most important thing, most important commandment? The most important one, Jesus said, is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. You realize, and maybe if you do or don't, there's a lot of rules, regulations in Scripture. And you look and you see a lot of them in the Old Testament. And sometimes some Christians are notorious for picking and choosing and then trying to get them to apply to different things and push things on others. And I'm just telling you, don't do that. Jesus is in a place in the Old Testament. He even said, you can't wear wool and cotton together. Ever hear that one preached? Ever hear that one preached? If a child disobeyed in the Old Testament, the Bible said that they would be stoned. And I just know I'd never make it past 5 years of age, everybody. But Jesus does this. He wraps it all up in two things, and he says this, all the rules. Love God, love people. And we need to do that, not be critical, judgmental. We need to love people, even when people do things that you don't like. Be witnesses. Here's the second thing we got to do is have a heart for people. Above all else, 1 Peter 4:8, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Man, I love people. And I love this city, and I believe in what God can do. Amen, everybody? I believe in, even when people get on your nerves, you're still called to love them, have a heart for them. We want to see people do that. I think it was amazing this week, and maybe for some of you that you don't know, we had 150 of our homeless people that were served on Wednesday night. Touched, fed, prayed with. Yeah, because of faithful teams that serve and are a part. I think that's awesome. Yesterday we had our Adopt-A-Block down in the inner city. Kids jam going on. Four of our kids gave their heart to Jesus in our inner city. We were painting a house and mowing lawns, all kinds of awesome things going on. Why? Because we care, and why? Because we have a heart for people to take this message to the world in Jesus' name and to pierce the darkness with light. Are you here this morning? And so I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, write this down. Find some margin in your notes. But found people find people. So what we realize as a mission, as a church, is as found people that we can't just hold on to what we have. We've got to go find people and take this message to them and love them through action and show them the love of God. I love what John Wesley said. He said, do all the good that you can in all the ways you can to all the souls you can in every place you can at all the times you can with all the zeal you can as long as you can. Have a heart for God. Have a heart for people. Have a heart, number three, for the local church. People making decisions every week here. It's awesome. But our greatest hope out of that is not just for somebody saying a prayer, but it's taking next steps in their life. Can I tell you some of the greatest moves of God are not about what happens in a building. It's about what's happening outside of a building. Amen. It's about being in the streets of our city. It's about pushing back darkness so that light can come. And you want to talk about a move of God? Come on, I believe that's a move of God and seeing God's power being demonstrated and people being reached and saved in the streets of our cities in Jesus' name. I think that's what it's about. And so we take people through growth track and helping them know their gifts and purposes. 87% of Christians don't know their purpose. And so we want to take a people on a journey. I think we'd have a lot less frustrated Christians in the world, in the local church, if we did a better job with this. Because we got a lot of Christians and people that follow Jesus that are serving just in churches in the areas of needs rather than in the areas of their gifts. And so that's the part of the assimilation I'm so glad that we have. We're not the only church that has that, but we do have that to help take people on that journey to discover and then worship a service, serve one, and be a part of the greater good. Because I'm telling you, our dream team is making a difference when they're directing a car. They're making a difference when they're opening a door for somebody. Amen? Making a difference when they're handing out a worship guide. Making a difference when they give a fist bump or shaking a hand or helping an elderly person to the car. Making a difference when you care for somebody. Come on, they're making a difference when they're praying for somebody up here. Yeah. Amen, everybody? Making a difference of your giving. 1 Kings 9:3 says, and God said to him, I've listened to and received all your prayers, your ever so passionate prayers. Come on, I just believe this is just, man, a word of the Lord to us. I've sanctified this temple that you've built. My name is stamped on it forever. Amen. The name of Jesus forever in this place. Amen. My eyes are on it, and I like that, and in my heart, in it always. I think that's powerful. I see a church. This is our dream, man, that we as we dream with God, whose head is Jesus Christ, whose help is the Holy Spirit, whose heart is the Great Commission, and whose hands and feet are you and me. Amen. And making a difference. Amen, church. So have a heart for God, heart for people. Have a heart for the local church. And have a heart, number four, for the world. Great scripture. Great reminder here in John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Romans 5, you see, at just the right time. Everybody say, just the right time. When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But here's how loving and powerful our God is, that he demonstrates his own love for us, and while we were still sinning, he died for us. Think about that. When he died, while people were still serving themselves and doing whatever, Jesus said, you're still worth dying for. That means there's hope for every one of us. That means that God looks beyond what man would ever see or say about us. God has dreams for us that are bigger than anything we could ever imagine. So Elevate City, I challenge you to have a heart for God. Have a heart for people. Come on, have a heart for his church, and let's have a heart for the world. Amen, everybody? Luke 15, I just encourage you on your own, if you get time, go read that chapter. It's a great chapter on just the lost. Because lost people are important to God, they're important to us. But it talks about the prodigal son. It talks about the parable of the lost coin and the lost sheep. And so I want you to realize why you are so important to God. That God has created every one of you with great expectation. That he's put something awesome on the inside of each and every one of us. Every one of us in here are 10 at something. You're great at something. Because of the God that's in you and man and what he's made with us with expectation. But I want to just be very practical in giving you reminders why you are important to God. Jot this first one down as we get ready to close up here. And that is because of who you are. Because of who you are, you're an original. There's nobody like you. And God created you with that specific expectation. He said, but man, Pastor, I don't know what it is. That's why we want to help you. That's why we want to walk with you in this journey and figure that out together. I love this in Jeremiah 1:5. God says, I knew you before you were ever formed within your mother's womb. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I appointed you as my spokesman, as my witness, as a light to the world. We were made in his image and in his likeness. And we must value what God values. Amen, everybody? It's probably been a year or 2 years ago. I was out and had invited somebody, a guy to church. And I said, man, we'd love to have you after we had some conversation. And he said, I think it's great. He said, you invited me, but I'm not a believer. And I said, well, perfect. I said, well, you love our church. And he said, well, actually, you know, I'm borderline atheist. I said, man, great, you'll love the people. I said, it'll be great. But I'm just telling you, no matter who walks through our doors, it's a no stones environment, everybody. Man, that we love people right where they're at. And you know what? That we're a place that people can belong even before they believe. That if even some people are trying to figure this thing out, then we want to help answer questions because we want to lead them, man, to a God who can save their life and change them from the inside out. Amen, everybody? And so that's our God. And so, and here's the next thing and why you're important to God. And I want you to get this. It's because of what you cost. Because of what you cost. You are worth dying for. You are worth dying for. 1 John says this, God is love, chapter 4. And this was the love God displayed where we are concerned and that he sent his only son to the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us through his son. To be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus was thinking about you and me when he died on that cross. He was thinking about the billions of people, past, present, and future. You are worthy. What the world may call dirty and may have called you that, God says, no, you are worthy. You're worthy of him dying for. And some of us need to hear that. You were bought at a high, high price, everybody. And you were worth it. Look at the person next to you. Tell them. Say, you're worth it. You're worth it. Look at the other person. Tell them, you're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it. And God has got expectation. And here's why the other reason why you're important to God. And I love this. I'm going to close up with this, a couple thoughts here. And that is of because of what you can become. That God sees the potential inside of each and every one of us. God can't force you to do anything. But there's things on the inside, I think of many of us, that are yet to be really walked out and shown. As I was just going over my notes this week, the Lord brought this scripture back into my heart, and I thought this was good. Matthew 4:19. Jesus said to them, follow me. Everybody say, follow me. And he said, and I will make you fishers of men. I want you to notice two things. First of all, the follow me part. Jesus has called every one of us to be his followers. Amen? But then it doesn't just stop there, but then we go on a journey with God. And God said, hey, I want to make you into something great. I want to continue to help you in this journey. Every man, every woman, every young person, that God has a plan, and he wants to make you into what he has for you to do in the earth. Amen? Can I just encourage you? Give your life to God fully. You heard me preach it a few weeks ago. Go all in. We'll miss some of us. If we're not careful, we'll miss out on some of the best that God has because we haven't gone all in. I'm telling you, man, don't do it. Go all in. I was telling first service this morning, it's been kind of a wild first year of 2017. I've seen a few in our church and others, friends and different ones who have passed away this year, died suddenly. One of our my godfather, his sister, tragically, just gone. Found at home. No reason. So here's what I'm saying. It's not a scare tactic, guys, but it's a reality check that I don't know how much time any of us have. But I don't know about you, but we get to spend our lives one time. And you can spend it any way you want. But can I encourage you to spend your life making a difference for Jesus? Amen, everybody? Spend your lives for Him. I love what William Wallace said. He said, every man dies, but not every man really lives. Another statement that was made is, don't be afraid of dying, but be afraid of the unlived life. And I don't know about you. Man, I want to make a difference. I was down at Adopt a Block yesterday. I was serving, helping the kids jam. And this precious little girl would not, just hung with me. Name was Jasmine. I'm going to remember her because when I come down, I'm going to look for her. A lot of the kids down in our inner city, they're in fatherless homes. So when they get attention, it's a big deal. I'll tell you what, that made my day yesterday. And to know that Jasmine also gave her heart to Jesus. And I just think about whatever way, God, that you can use me to impact. Listen, you don't have to be on a stage to impact somebody. Let me be very clear. You can be right where you're at in your sphere of influence and make a difference right where you're at. Amen, everybody? And I'm just telling you, people are waiting. They're more receptive than they've ever been because the world's way isn't working, and they know it. And they need a God who's real and who will love them right where they're at. God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. I think we need to be reminded of the hope that we have. So this morning, can I tell you something practical? Can I tell you something spiritual? Can I tell you something strategic? Can I tell you something that I think brings great application in any form? And that is, stay in love with Jesus. It is the most practical, spiritual, strategic, applicable thing that you could ever do is stay in love with Jesus. Keep growing in your faith. Keep going beyond the comfort and allow God to help you and to make you into the man or woman that He wants you to be. Choose it. Go after it in Jesus' name. It's why when I think about what are we becoming, I think about our kids who's being ministered to right now, not babysat. I just want you to know very clearly how serious we take our kids' ministry. Because when they're back there, they're getting ministry. It's not just until mom and dad's done with service. No, they're having their own worship experience. They're getting closer to Jesus. You realize almost every week back there, we have one or more kids giving their hearts to Jesus, everybody. Oh, man. You ought to be a little more excited than that, everybody. And I just think, man, what would it look like if we, the church, continue to surround our kids, our teenagers in a place that are hungry for God just as much. They need to be celebrated, need to be valued, need to be reached, but they need to be taught and they need to be shown. And this statement just kind of rang in my spirit for our generations that are coming up. A generation that the world cannot change will be the generation that'll change the world. I'm going to say it again. A generation, and this is, I speak it over our kids in the name of Jesus and our teenagers in Jesus' name that are meeting every week, that a generation that the world cannot change will be the generation that will change the world. So, Lord, I pray, start with me as a dad. Start with our family and our home as a grandparent, aunt, and uncle to have influence in Jesus' name of not only of what we are becoming, but what we also are helping our children to become. Amen, everybody? And so I encourage us, let's do it together. Let's show them. One of the great things that you can do very easily is sign up today at the end of service for Serve Day. Get involved. You can ask the questions out there. Our serve team will be out there. Bring your kids. People ask me, can my kids come? Yes, 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 yes. And then we're going to serve, do a bunch of different projects. And if we had somebody ask us, man, I've kind of got a disability, but I want to be there. Can't really walk much. I said, that's fine. We'll find something for you with one of our teams. So we just don't want nothing to hold you back. And I appreciated her passion because she wanted to be there. I said, oh yeah, we'll make it work. We'll make it work. And so I just encourage you today, come on, with our kids, with everybody, let's sign up. Come on, let's be the church, everybody. So not just talk about it. Come on, let's put actions to our words and be the church in our city. We do a big day once a year, but as you know, we've got stuff happening all the time. And I end with this thought, great one from Mother Teresa, great woman of God. She said this, it's in your message notes, I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples. Man, I think that's powerful. Because every one of us can make an impact where we're at. Amen, everybody? Would you stand to your feet this morning? And just if you would, just bow your head right where you're at and just close your eyes. And if you're comfortable with it, just open up your hands just right where you're at. All right? If you're here for the first time, listen, if you're comfortable, cool. If not, it's okay. It's okay. Just want all of us to be in this moment here just as we pray. That's the most important thing. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for the stirring of your spirit within our hearts, the purpose of God, the gifts of God that are in with each and every one of us to go beyond where we've been. God, for some of us, I realize this is the first time, God, thinking about maybe sharing the light of God with others or maybe stepping out and being a part of an outreach. Maybe we've never done that. But I pray today in the mighty name of Jesus that we would have a boldness within us like never before to rise up. I believe world changers are in this room, called by God. I believe gifts and purpose are yet to be revealed for some. And so, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, would you stir us. Stir us as a church to go farther. Stir us as a church to believe bigger. We've got a city today that is in desperate need of Jesus. Where darkness has tried to push in, but we are the light of the world, and we will see darkness push back in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father, I'm asking, God, as our hands are open, not just as a sign of surrender, but as a sign, God, that we are open to whatever you want to do in us, and that's our prayer. I just challenge you to say something like this: God, whatever you want to do in me, do it. Whatever you need to show me, show me. Help me take those next steps. Help me to be bold. Help me to make a difference in the name of Jesus. God, give us courage. Courage, oh God. We need you. We need your power. We need your strength. We need your heart, God. We're going to have a heart for you. We're going to have a heart for people. We're going to have a heart for your church, God. And we're going to have a heart for the world. In Jesus' name we pray. You can just put your hands down, but let's stay just in this posture of prayer. Because I never want to leave a service without giving an opportunity. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, and you don't know him personally, man, I encourage you, don't leave here without making a decision to follow after Jesus. It's simple. It's not complicated. It's not about joining a church. Right now, all you need to be focused on is a relationship, because that's what it's about. That he loves you so much that God gave his son, died on a cross, but rose again. And he loves you. And maybe you're even here today and you thought maybe you kind of just gave up on God or you drifted from him. Today, you can recommit your life to him. Come on and make a new decision. Make a fresh start today with God all over this room, just with every head bowed and all eyes closed. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to put your hand up here in just a moment. That's not me singling you out, just saying, man, Kyle, I want to join in that prayer. That's me. I want to join in that prayer because all of us are going to pray it. I want you to be bold for Jesus today. 1, 2, 3. Say, man, that's me. That's me. Hands up. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, awesome. Come on, anybody else? Says, that's me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, let's pray this prayer together with every single person. Come on, let's raise their hands. And if you weren't comfortable raising, that's fine. Just pray this prayer. Mean it. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. And cleanse me of my past. Make me a brand new person. My life isn't my own. It belongs to you. Jesus, thank you for saving me. And thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we give Jesus just a great big hand this morning? Come on, everybody, amen. We love you, Lord. We love you.